the Republican voice of reason. Only on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network.
I love it when our next guest into the Daley Connerton Memorial Company interview chair pops in. Just like Tong, who comes in once a quarter. Although, Tong was getting me hungry because his family. We were talking Chinese food a lot with our attorney general. I had no idea that his family owned the sampan on the Silas Dean Highway in Wethersfield, because when I was a child, I mean a youngin in the 70s, that was
the spot.
Our go-to Chinese restaurant. So like Tong was here a few weeks ago, our next guest also comes in about once a quarter. He is the comptroller here for the state of Connecticut. In for the full hour, in person, and yes, when we go to open phones at the bottom half, he'll be taking your phone calls, including those who may have called earlier this morning. You know what the rule is. Generally, it's just one phone call a morning, except when we have a guest live in studio for the full hour, then you're allowed to call back. Let's welcome back to the show our state comptroller, Sean Scanlon. Sean, great to see you again, my
friend. Good morning. Good to be back.
It is superb. He didn't hear his song, by the way.
You know why? Because of the podcast. I'm trying to record everything now.
Oh.
That's what happened.
Pardon me. Well, when we come back then.
When we come back.
We'll bring sexy back.
We're going to bring. Yeah, you're bringing sexy back.
I am, but you are too by playing that song.
Oh. Okay. Well, that would be Joe. Joe's going to play
the
song
for
you. Let's start. There's a few things I really wanted to kind of get out of the way this morning. Let's start with the first, and it's a question that I ask you fairly routinely. Although I'm not known for having the greatest memory, but it hasn't gotten this bad yet. I know the answer to the question, but for those who have just are new to the show, and we talk to the comptroller, let's start with probably the most elementary question.
What the heck is the comptroller?
What is the comptroller? What do they do?
Yeah. So basically, think about it like I'm the chief financial officer of the state.
Right.
I'm the accountant. We have dozens of accountants in our office that prepare audits and do all the bookkeeping of the state. We pay all the bills. We sign every check. We do all of the healthcare and benefit procurement for all the retirees, the state employees, their families. We run the largest health insurance plan in Connecticut. So we do a lot of random things, but the easiest way to describe it is I'm the chief financial officer.
And a question that I was asked to ask you is, what's the difference between the state treasurer's office and the state comptroller's office?
Money in and money out. So the treasurer is all the money in, so investing all the money, mm-hmm. and the comptroller is all the money going out. In most states in the country, it's one person doing both jobs.
Is that right?
There's only 9 elected comptrollers in the entire United States. Most of the treasurers in the state do it, but since the 1790s, we've been doing it this way. And
well, if we've been doing it since the 1790s, who am I?
Land of steady habits, man.
Would you be able to do both, do you think, with your office, or is it busy enough that it needs to be two?
You know, the treasurer has a lot of specific experience more than me in terms of bonds and things like that, right? I don't get into any of that. He was a bond lawyer before he was the treasurer, so he knows a lot about that stuff. I think he's doing great at his job. I'm not looking to absorb his stuff, but
how often do you two communicate?
All the time.
I would imagine your offices are constantly
almost daily. I mean, he and I won together. We're both the first two millennials to ever get elected to statewide office. Two youngest guys ever to get elected to statewide office. So we're good friends. Got to know each other during the campaign, and I was literally on the phone with him driving up here talking about an issue. So,
is that who you were talking with?
Yeah.
I was on your website, and
okay.
I was reading some pretty darn good news. But I want to know what it means for all of us.
All right, I'll break it down.
You're projecting a $166.7 million surplus, and you're also low unemployment impact on our economy. All right, so what does that mean for us?
What it means is that Connecticut continues to see budget surpluses, and when we end this fiscal year, which ends on June 30th. It will be, I predict, the 6th consecutive year that we will end with a budget surplus, which is a good thing and is the result of back in 2017, when I believe you and I were serving together in the legislature, we passed a bipartisan budget mm-hmm. that set us up for success that we're having today. Those fiscal guardrails that people always talk about, they're like, what the heck is that? Basically, it was a series of reforms to the way that we budgeted in Connecticut that has allowed us to have these record surpluses, to pay down almost $8 billion of debt, and to build up our rainy day fund.
All right. People, though, would say, but we still have an incredible deficit, right? And we, that we'll be paying off for generations to come. So then how could we have a surplus?
Because it's the way that we do accounting, right? Which is that you can have $10,000 in your checking account, but still have $10,000 of credit card debt. But if you look at the money that you have, the cash on hand that you have, you've got $10,000, despite the fact that you've got $10,000 in debt as well. So it's all about accounting. What I would say to that, though, is that that's something I see from people all the time on Twitter. They say, oh, we don't really have a surplus. We've got all this debt. We do have a lot of debt. We have the second most debt in the entire country. The good news, though, is because of those fiscal guardrails, we're paying that debt down. So I tell people all the time, between 1939, when they instituted the first pension, and 1971, how much money do you think the state set aside for people that had those pensions?
Zero.
Zero. That's the correct answer. Between 1971 and 2010, the answer was barely anything. So only since 2010 have we actually made the payments that we're supposed to make every month, which means that we've got a lot of debt, $40 billion of pension debt. But the good news is because of these guardrails, we've paid off $8 billion of that just in the last 5 years alone. So if we keep at this, we are going to chip away at that debt, and my kids will not be having this around their neck like my generation and your generation has it around ours.
And it's all because of the guardrails. So I'm hearing that there are some people in the legislature, although not Lamont. Granted, Lamont is a different branch of government as the governor in the executive branch. But there are people in the legislature that want to change those guardrails.
Yeah. So, look.
How would that impact things?
Well, I don't think we should change them, right? Because I think it's working. And a lot of times in government, we do something for a little bit, it works, and then we say, let's do something else, right? That's not the right thing to do. This is like, I got a 4.5-year-old, right? Every time he gets sick and has to take a prescription, he takes it for one day and he's like, Dad, I'm fine. I don't want to take that anymore, right? But the doctor says, no, you got to take it for 10 days because even though you're feeling better, your body is not better. Our body is not better here in Connecticut. Our fiscal health is still threatened, and we got to keep going.
Based on those numbers, you said how many? 40 billion.
We've got 40 billion of pension debt and 40 billion of other kinds of debt. So,
all right,
80 billion. Yeah.
And we've paid eight.
Eight.
How many years at the rate that we're going would it take to break even where it's zero?
We're talking 2030s. So about
That's it?
Well, because think about it. In 5 years, we've paid off 8 billion of the 40, okay, right? And if we keep going, right, for 10 more years, then that's almost to the place that we want to be. But the debt gets reduced every year through the other actuarial payments that we're making. So these are $8 billion of surplus payments on top of the payment that we're already making. So it's basically like if you're paying your mortgage down and you come into some money and you say, all right, my mortgage payment is $2,000 a month, which is pretty low these days. But if you have that low rate, we pay the $2,000 down. But let's say that we want to pay $2,000 extra on top of that. You're going to pay your mortgage off faster. That's what we're doing right now with the pensions.
Okay. So if you were to pay an extra, let's say $4,000, an extra $2,000 on that example that you just gave, would that be added towards principal?
It's very complicated to talk about it in that way, which I get where you're going, principal versus interest, because the numbers change all the time, because that's what the treasurer is doing, right? The treasurer is investing that money and trying to get us the best rate of return to lower that unfunded liability. So the number changes every single year, and we have to, because this is why we work together, we have to figure out what that right number is. And so it's hard to sort of say, okay, today we're paying the principal versus this is the interest, because the number changes all the time.
I just remember when we were in, we had a AAA rating, right? But yet we really weren't chipping away.
No.
At our deficit, all we were doing was making our payments.
Yes.
We were fulfilling our minimum requirement. We were paying, kind of like if you were to use an analogy, I guess, if you were your credit card.
Yeah.
Where it's, hey, if you're paying, making the minimum payment at least, and you're paying on time, you got great credit, you know. But even if you're not chipping away at the principal, as long as you're at least taking care of the interest, making that minimum payment. And I think that's what we were doing. We used to always talk about the state's credit card.
But the payments that we had to make were going up and up every year.
Because we were charging more.
Because we hadn't paid it in such a long time. So, yeah, we were paying it, which is great, but it was absorbing more and more of our budget, which was the problem.
Okay. This is what we're going to do. I've got some other questions for you. I want to talk about what you just unveiled recently. You just unveiled the 2024 healthcare cabinet report.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a very short break? We'll come back in 60 seconds more with our comptroller, Sean Scanlon, right after this.
Time is precious. Between work, the kids, and caring for an ailing mom, I have less and less free time. So the time I spend with mom, I want to be meaningful. That's why I leave the cooking, cleaning, and laundry to Euro American Home Care for You. They do it all so that my time with mom is about us, not chores.
Make your time together memorable and leave the cleaning, cooking, laundry, bathing, and errands to Euro American Home Care of Berlin. 860-829-0208. That's 860-829-0208. Online at homecare4u.com.
Owning your own home should not be a difficult goal. Hi, it's Gary Byron, and with rents as high as they are right now, 2024 is the year to be owning. My friends at Putnam Agency Real Estate are committed to excellence and unlocking your home's value. For over 60 years, Putnam Agency Real Estate has sustained ever-evolving markets with extremely knowledgeable agents, providing unmatched standards and proven strategies. Call Putnam Agency Real Estate at 860-628-5691 and online at PutnamAgencyRealEstate.com.
You're listening to Mornings with Gary Byron, the Republican voice of reason, only on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network.
I was waiting for it. Now, 22 minutes after the hour of 9, our guest for the entire hour live in studio is the Connecticut State Comptroller, Sean Scanlon. And by the way, he's going to be taking your phone calls at the bottom half of the hour. So if you want the next minute or two, if you want to give us a call and get in the queue for that, 860-243-1360. And then that way you'll be one of the first in line to talk to Sean. Does that song just follow you everywhere you go? Like if you're walking down the street, you know, I mean.
In my head.
In your head.
Not in real life.
Well, no, of course not.
But now that I've heard it, I'm energized.
And when you get interviewed elsewhere, is that song synonymous with you?
I don't think
so. Or is that just on this show?
It's just on this show.
Okay.
It's an exclusive to this show.
And prior to getting into this this seat here, I mean, was that a song that you always thought of that song as, boy, if I could have a theme, like as you're walking down the road, what's playing in the background?
It's one of them. I got a couple others, but it's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
His face lit up when it came on.
Did you notice that? I saw that.
He really enjoyed it.
I did see it.
I feel great.
Because you're bringing sexy back.
And the song just peps you up a little bit, you know?
And listen, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we could all use a little pep in our step.
We need it.
Okay. So I was teasing before the break how I wanted to talk a little bit about your healthcare cabinet report. And I also want to talk about the Array RX enrollment and its usage and how it compares to good RX and all that. I'll get to that in a moment, but let's talk right now more specifically about your healthcare cabinet report.
Yeah. Well, so healthcare is through the roof expensive for most people in the state.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure we've talked about this before.